All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to try to be brief tonight. All right, I'm going to start mixing in, I think, another audio track in with the preaching, so there'll be at points like what I just said there, I'll put in some laughter from the audience, and I can put in laughter and amens and stuff like that, you know. Yeah, that way it'll seem more realistic. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, let's read verses 7 through 13. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some, with conscience of the idol unto this hour, eat it as a thing offered unto an idol. And their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. That's the issue. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Okay, well, let's pray again and we'll get through this. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for making things so clear to us if we just read and study and have a mind to think with. My. You just open it up to our understanding. I know the Spirit of God does that, but there's no excuse not to understand these things. Please help us, Lord, tonight to talk about these verses, give the right understanding, and help me to do things right here tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is dealing with things that were part of our life before we were saved. Now, I don't know if you can go back and read that again and get that or not, but that's really what it is. If you have knowledge of the idol, a lot of people that got saved in the New Testament here, that the New Testament talks about, they were idol worshipers before they were saved. And so they knew about this stuff. They knew what that idol was, and they knew about the food, and they knew about the worship and the ceremonies and the services at the temple of the idols and all of that. And then they get saved, and if they're still participating in that, then there's a problem. There is a problem. And it ain't that the meat has got demons in it, or the meat has any effect on you. The meat commendeth us not to God. It's not the barbecue they're eating. That ain't it. That ain't what makes you. That's not the issue. The issue is what it does to your conscience and to other people's conscience, your brethren especially. Our mind and our heart were involved in the things we did before we were saved, and the people we knew, and the music we listened to, and the habits of our life that we lived back then. We had a life, you know. We lived in darkness. I mean, it was darkness, but we had a life. We were alive to this world and to the flesh. Oh, yeah. I mean, live it up. That's what a lot of people did before they were saved. All of us did to some degree or another. We had loves and pleasures. We had things that we hated, and we had bad things that we experienced. That's life. That's part of life. And that's, we had all that. We went through everything. It wasn't like, you know, I said pretty often, it seems like I wasn't even living before I was saved, but I was. You know, I can tell you all kinds of things and places I went and people I knew and things I did before I got saved. I was alive. Without the law, once. Yeah, I was. And so, you know, memory connects things together. Now, stay with me. We're talking about why we shouldn't partake of things that we partook of before we were saved. There are certain things that have some meanings connected with them that are harmful to our soul and harmful to the souls of those around us. So keep that, that's what I'm pointing at tonight. Memory connects things together and forms associations in our mind. Now, it does in my mind. I don't know if I'm just the oddball. I don't think so. I think it does for everybody. Some people just don't pay attention to that and don't think about it. But memory connects things together, associates things. You remember things by association. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about this. Certain things will bring up memories of a place, of a person, or of some event in our life. Music does that. There's songs that are connected to people. There's songs that are connected to places, to events in your life and in mine. You know that's true. When you hear it, it takes you right back there. There's smells that do that too. I mean, there really are. Mexico was a place that smelled. And when I smelled certain things, there were good things and then there were bad things. Whenever I smell those smells, I'm right back there. Yep. That's what your memory does. That's why this stuff is important. It takes you back. You don't want to go back, do you? To that old life? To your sin? To the things of darkness that were just about to send your soul to hell? You don't want to go back there, do you? You don't want to go back there and enjoy it again, do you? Well, that's what this issue is about right here. There's pictures that you look at and it takes you back. You know, I mentioned it before. You get your box of pictures out and look through it. You old people that got box of pictures. But when you do that, does it make you feel good or bad? It makes you feel bad. No. Why? Because it takes you back there. You go back to things that are gone now. To places, to people, you want to live it again, but it's impossible. You can't. It affects your feelings. That's what I'm trying to get at here. You can hear a song, it'll affect your feelings. It'll take you back to a place, a person, an event in your life, and it will affect your feelings. Your emotions will be stirred, and you'll live again what that was about back there. The dangerous thing about this is that we had feelings connected with those things in our past. And when we return to that place or person or event of our past, the emotions are revived. And feelings are hard to deal with and overcome. They're the hardest thing. That's the hardest thing. You want to talk about the struggle? There's where your struggle's at. You want to talk about something you struggle with? There's where you struggle. That's something that is almost, well, it's just real hard to overcome. Your feelings, your own feelings. It's hard to squelch them. When you see that picture, when you hear that song, when you smell that smell, and it takes you back, then you can't hardly shake that feeling, can you? Y'all with me? You understand what I'm talking about? Say, where are you getting at? That's what we're talking about here. And we'll try to bring it together here in a minute. But feelings are hard to deal with. And when feelings overcome you, all wisdom and good sense goes out the door. Now, here's a good example of what I'm trying to get across to you tonight. The danger and the damage of this. All the marriages and homes that have been broken up in the last 15 years because of renewed romances on the internet. Do y'all know of any? I know of a bunch. Yep. Where he or she got together with some old flame on the internet and ended up breaking up their home. Yeah. I've known missionaries that have done it. I've known preachers that have done it. Yeah. And homes wrecked. What happened? A picture. And then it drew them right back into the past. and the feelings that were there in the past. And they flamed up again. And then things just got out of control. And away you go. Bye-bye. Caused great damage and great harm and shipwrecked lives. This is the great reason to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. If we don't separate ourselves from our old life and all things about it that we delighted in and indulging ourselves in, it's almost a certainty that we will return to it. Amen. Paul had a life. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He raised up and trained at the feet of Gamaliel, you know, doctor of the law. He was somebody and had a life. I mean, he was their man going after the churches and everything. You know what? He threw it all away. He suffered the loss of all things and he counted it as dung, he said. He never went back. You never seen Paul sitting around remembering and smiling and a grin, boy, them was the days, wasn't that? Was that, you know? Did you ever hear anybody doing that? I've heard preachers sit around and do that. I've heard other Christians sit around and do that. Just really delight again in their sin, in their sinful life the way they did. It ought to be abomination to you. What does that say to the children sitting around? We're talking about the idols, eating the meat of the idols. I mean, same thing. That's what he's talking about here. You dredge up your old life, things you did, things you were participating in, things you loved, and the way you were. Yeah. I don't want my kids to know how I was. Because that's gone. I don't want them to know. I ain't going to sit around and you know, maybe I shouldn't say anything like this sometimes because other people listen. But let me tell you something. I've got people I went to school with and everything, and they live in the past. They continually live in the past, trying to relive high school, trying to relive their young life. And, you know, I'm not stuck back there. That's gone. It's gone, gone, gone. Nothing back there that appeals to me anymore. When I look back on it, I just think, how could I have been so foolish? How could I have been so foolish? How could I have done such stupid things? What in the world was the matter with me? That's what I think. I don't look back on it and say, man, that was the best days of my life. No, sir. No, sir. These are the best days of my life. Yeah. So, this includes everything. I mean, we shouldn't, if we don't separate ourselves from our old life and all things about it that we delighted in, we're headed back to it. And that includes everything, not just the immoral and ungodly things. You understand this now. I'm not talking about just the bad things. It's all the things. We're in the world, so it's impossible to never be faced with the remembrance of our old life. Oh, I go in a store, doctor's office, gas station, hamburger place, you know, anywhere you go, I hear songs. And, yep, I know every word. I can know every note, every twang of the guitar. I know everything about it. You're going to be faced with that. We'll smell the odors that take us back to a certain time and place. And, you know, like I said, there's a place in Mexico we called Ruiz Cortines. It was a street, but it smelled like sewer there all the time. And every time we smell that smell, somebody says that. You know, there we are. Back there, I can just see, I'm going over the bridge where we were so many times. But there's so many other smells, man. I remember orange blossoms and food a cooking that smells so good. Yeah. Takes you back. But we should avoid being carried back all we can for our own spiritual welfare and also for the spiritual well-being of others who are watching us. We're supposed to be looking forward, and you're not going to be happy as a Christian, and you're not going to be able to keep going if you don't look forward instead of back. Any man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Look ahead. We've been preaching on the kingdom of God. That's what I had planned on preaching on tonight. But it's still in the queue. But, you know, the kingdom of God, it's something that we're looking forward to. It's what our future holds. We're living for the future, not the past. What happens in the heart of a drug addict when he gets saved and then goes to a church where the music is the same as what he listened to while he was doing drugs? What do you think about that? What do you think it does to him? I mean, he's a drug addict. He's on the bottom. He's about to wipe out. And somehow, somebody witnesses to him. He ends up in a mission somewhere. Somehow, he gets saved. Or he begins to search for God. Maybe he don't even get saved. He just starts searching for God. And he goes to church. And it's the same atmosphere as the rock concert where he was smoking the weed and doing the other stuff. What does that do for him? Do you see what I'm talking about here? Eating the meat of idols that's offered to idols. That's what Paul's talking about here. Somebody see you do that and they know that you know, and you're doing it like there's nothing wrong with it, like it means nothing to you, and they know that you know. They know that you did it before and what it meant to you before, and there you are doing it still. And you're supposed to be saved and worshiping God, and that stuff's supposed to have been part of you that got done away with. Don't you see how that's going to confuse them and be a stumbling block to your brother? Don't do that. Even if there's nothing wrong with it. He said, whatever sold in the shambles, eat it. You know, it's just meat. It's just food. But if it's sacrificed to an idol, if there's other things connected with it that mean something, if it brings up other meanings and memories and is associated with other things, better leave it alone. See, this old stuff of, well, the Bible don't say thou shalt not. No, that ain't the way a Christian lives, and that's not what he's guided by. He doesn't have to have a thou shalt not specifically in the Bible, or else it's okay for me. No, no, sir. There's more than you and more than me. And I've got to think about more than just what I want, what I like, what tastes good to me, what feels good to me, what I enjoy. I got to think more than that. I got to think about you, you know. I got to think about how it's going to affect other people that are watching me and who might see me. Do that. Say that. Go there. Be in that crowd. You know? Have you ever seen somebody like that out? Somebody you thought was a real spiritual Christian, and then you see them with somebody, in some place, doing something that just shocks you and sets you back. You know, what in the world? I didn't think they would do that. I didn't think they would go there. I didn't think they were like that. Did you ever have that experience? Oh, yes. I never would have believed it. They would have. That's exactly what he's talking about here. What happens in the heart of an immoral person? Somebody's been a whoremonger or a whore. Immoral. Who gets saved or who is searching for God and then goes in a church where the subject of the sermon this Sunday is sex. Or where the women and the young girls are dressed immodest in sexy clothes. How's it going to affect them? Going to help them? Is it going to make them think, wait, don't worry about it, man. Everybody's that way. Even we who are saved, we still got that problem. Been reading Romans 7 and 8 and 9, or 6, 7, 8 again. Oh, my goodness. Oh, every time I do that, it it gets worse. I just cannot understand how anybody could believe what these people believe. I just don't understand. Every verse puts it down. And yet they still believe it. Oh, yeah. Won't chase that rabbit tonight. There's some things that Christians should avoid after they're saved. I mean, you oughtn't to listen to the same kind of music you did before you were saved. You just shouldn't do it. I mean, I don't care if it does have Jesus in it once in a while. If it is some kind... I saw a news article today and said that these millennials are thinking, these millennial gospel singers, they're saying that a third great awakening is about to happen because of all the meetings they're in and all of the... And they ain't talking about fundamental Baptists or anything like that. No, it's these contemporary rock and roll smoke singers, you know, with all the lights and the smoke. And I watched just a little bit of it, and I was like, ugh, I can't even stand to watch it. Demon worship. I mean, it's the devil's music. Right out of the gate, I can just, it's just the devil! My soul abhors it. Why don't yours? Kind of music that we were associated with, that we enjoyed, that we were known for before we were saved, it ought to be different after we get saved. Just because. Even if it was just about old folksy song about mom and dad and all of that. I mean, it ought to be a different, there ought to be a difference in us. Anything that is similar about us to what it was before we were saved ought to bother you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are what? Still hanging around? We just got them in the closet. We just get them out and look at them once in a while. No, all old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, that is what it says, ain't it? All things. All things. So, there's not too much out of our past that we ought to cherish, is there? I mean, I think that's what I preach all the time. I mean, when you, it's a total surrender. You give up. The old man's dead. That's why we've been reading in Romans 6, 7, 8, too. I mean, that old man must die. He must die. You're not alive in Christ if that old man is not dead. And I just looked, did a real quick search about, you know, Romans 7 and sin, I forgot what I wrote in there. But anyway, of course, here it is. Boy, just an avalanche of everything. And I started reading one or two of them. I can't stand it. I just read a little bit and think, well, yep, there you go. And they, every one start out the same way. How can it be that he speaks this way in Romans chapter 6? And then in Romans chapter 7, he's a wretched man. And then in Romans 8, it doesn't go together. How did we explain that? I said, well, you're going to be confused unless you understand that we have two natures now. You have the new nature, which is like God, but then that old nature's still there. Still there. All right, show me that in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Just the opposite is in the Bible. Consistently, it's gone, dead, buried, doesn't exist anymore. You're a new creature. All things new. And on. Romans chapter 8, every verse of the first several verses specifically points that out. So there ain't much we ought to hang on to from the past. Not much that we ought to cherish from the past. Y'all understand this. Sure, we remember. Sure, it was part of our life here on earth. Yep. Can't get rid of it as far as pretend that it never happened and all of that. But this just acting like it has no bearing on where we are now. See, the idol, the meat offered to the idol. It's just meat. I mean, it's just, it smells good. Boy, it is good. Tastes good. Yes, sir. It's good stuff. Yeah. Because they don't do nothing but the best. You know? Remember that time, Dad, we went down there to my uncle's and he had, you know, He didn't have enough money to buy a license for his car or gas for his Cadillac that he had. But he wanted to barbecue for everybody. And what did he barbecue? Filet mignon. He burned it because he was drunk. Yeah. They do the best. Yeah. They pride themselves in their meat, don't they? Say, why are you, if you don't connect it and if you can't see the connection, well, Lord help you. That's what it is. You read the Bible and you read back in the Old Testament in their feasting and all of that, that's exactly what it was. Same as what people do now on the holiday week. What's the holiday weekends all about in the summer? Beer drinking and barbecuing, yes, sir. Yeah, and, you know, that's part of life. Is it wrong to barbecue? Well, if it means as much to you, if it means that to you, I mean, if you put it on and you do it just like they do and it looks the same and everything, can't you do it without it looking the same? I think so. Well, the way we do it ain't nothing like the way it used to be. Mm-mm. Oh, well, hope you understand. Lord help you to understand. If we were religious before we were saved, then we certainly should worship and serve God very differently than we did before. You ought to be able to see a difference, shouldn't you?
Right. Yeah.
Even in religious people. I've known people that went to church all their life and were Sunday school teachers and even preachers and then got saved. And there was a grand difference in them after they got saved than the way they served the Lord before they got saved. You can see the difference. If we don't distance ourselves from those types of things, they'll be a stumbling block to weaker Christians. Our indulgence in something that is not wrong and is nothing to us may be a stumbling block to someone else because of their past association with it. Just the sight or the thought of something barely associated with a memory of the past can spark something that leads to spiritual stumbling. Oh, better believe that. If meat make my brother to offend, Paul said, I'll eat no meat while the world's standing. Don't mean that much to me. Ain't nothing that I got to have that I desire so much that I'll trample over the soul of a brother to get to have my way. I'll just not have it. Don't need it. I'll just keep on living with if I got it or don't got it. It don't matter. Don't have to have it. My brother's more important. That other people prosper and grow in the Lord and don't stumble is more important than me getting what I want, than me enjoying what I want to enjoy, than me having my right to do something. And don't you judge me. You know, that ain't the attitude here at all. No, if that's going to be a problem, just won't do it. If somebody else might see it and it might cause a problem, nope, just won't do it. Don't need to do it. A little different attitude than... We should strive to distance ourselves from things of our past. Yep. We should strive to distance ourselves from the things of the past from others' lives who were around, you know. If I know that you had a problem with drinking before you were saved, I ought not to make light of it, jokes about it. I ought not to say things about it. I ought to be sensitive about that around you so that I don't bring up stuff in your mind about your past cause you problems. If you were a dope head, same thing. You know, if you were an immoral person, same thing. I ought to be careful. Why talk about the past? Talk about the future. How do we edify one another? Talking about the past? Nope. Talking about the future. We should strive to do this. Now, two more verses. I'll read them and we'll be done. 1 Thessalonians 1:9. For they themselves show us, show of us. Let me start over. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. And how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. It's part of our testimony that we leave that stuff from the past alone. even if it's not bad, even if it's not sinful, even if it's not immoral, even if it's unquestionable, it's best to leave it alone. Enjoy the things of God. Isn't there enough to enjoy of the things of God to keep us going, keep us occupied? Here's the problem. I ain't got time enough to enjoy all the things of God I could if I just had a little more time. See? There's plenty. That's what I'm saying. There's plenty. There's plenty. We're not starving for nourishment and I don't want to say entertainment, but stuff that'll occupy our mind, stuff to keep us thinking, stuff to think about and to meditate on and to enjoy. We got plenty with God. We don't need to dig into the past and go back and relive old things. And 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. What he said. Keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Idolatry is one of those sins like adultery. Fornication. Flee fornication. We're to flee from idolatry. That means run from it. Don't. And part of it is from our old life. See, we all were idolaters before we got saved. Yeah. That old woman at the well, she was an idolater. She worshipped, she knew not what Jesus said. Everybody worshiped you. I hope that'll help you. I hope you understood what I'm trying to get across to you. But that is what he's talking about there. I mean, that's the principle behind what he's talking about. There was an issue with them about idols. But it applies just like we applied it tonight. It applies. Be careful about your past. Be careful about other people's past around you. Be sensitive to the things that smart with them when you bring it up in their past. You don't want to cause nobody to stumble. We want to help one another to make this journey without falling out of the way or getting detoured and off the track. So there you go. Let's bow. We'll have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. Pray you'd help us to understand this tonight. I pray that, Lord, it'd be clearer in the minds of those that hear it than what I've been able to do here tonight. Please go with us now as we go home. Pray you'd answer prayers this week and watch over these traveling. Please keep them safe. Lord, may these families that are grieving from the loss of loved ones this week, there's two or three that we know, folks we know. Please, Lord, help them. Give us a good, safe trip home. Bless the next few days. Guide and direct us. Help us, Lord, over the weekend to have a good Lord's Day. Pray folks would be here. Pray we can see visitors. Pray we can see you work in the service. In Jesus' name, amen.